Here is everybody's favorite comic book dude, Mark Millar, is doing it again. He's completely in love with John Cena.
And his name is John Cena!
To play the lead in his new book / movie, Superior, in his latest superhero comic adaptation that's currently in development. All the films he's been in, pretty much so far, have been, as Claude likes to say, a dumpster fire. They have been horrible.
But you get the added perk of him being able to rap the theme song.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. Literature, movies, television, even music. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
And welcome to Breaking the Panel. We talk about all things comic book fun, from the back bins to the big screens and everything in between. I'm the Rock Guy of Podcasting, Charles McFall, and with me today is it Jessica Jones of the crew, Chris Wisdom.
Ah, that's cool, because I'm one of the most powerful ones here.
You know, take what you can get, man. Take what you can get. Then Daredevil, who can't quite see what we're doing, but he gets it in the end. Paul Klotz.
Yeah, he does.
Wow. And then, but the Big Daddy. The Big Daddy, the one that comes in and ties the whole universe together from the street level to the cosmic level. We got the Doctor Strange, Brian Abbott.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's not even fair. Like, you're pegging us all as street level heroes, and then
he's a defender.
Oh, let me bring the Illuminati big boss in here.
to be fair, he is the big budget on the panel. I mean,
right? I mean, I'm sorry. None of us have 1,000 trophies sitting on the wall that are in the shape of the Eye of Agamotto.
None of us have a Pokemon Go Plus either.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, only one of us on this show can. Only one of us on this show can be unironically called podcasting's so-and-so, which is Brian.
I'm getting there, right? You can almost Google me, and I'll come up second to the Charles McFall that was on Family Guy.
Yeah, sure. Demigod of...
Yeah.
Godling of...
They're like, hey, you got a business card? It's literally a card that says Brian Emmett on it. You can Google me.
Oh, yeah. No, I put on my gold-plated pants one leg at a time, guys.
All right. Well, to get us kicked off today, we've got a lot of headlines, a lot of great things to talk about, but we got an email. We got an email in from Jeffrey James, and he says here, I'm not sure you've been entirely fair on your characterization of MCU TV as lacking deep continuity with the MCU films. The second half of the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. completely hinged on the plot twist in Captain America Winter Soldier. Agreed. There is also deep continuity between Agent Carter and all three Captain America movies.
I wouldn't say deep, but
yeah, we'll get there. While it's true the Netflix series haven't been introduced on the MCU larger picture, there's no reason for them to do so because the heroes of that part of the universe are all very much under the radar. Unlike Spider-Man, who got Tony Stark's attention by doing showy stuff that turned up on YouTube, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Luke Cage are all publicity shy and not operating at all on this stage of world politics.
Allow me to push back my proverbial glasses here for just a moment. What I was trying to say when we talked about this topic was that Chloe Bennett and other people who have been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have made this comment that they feel, you know, kind of left out of the rest of the MCU. There's some valid points there. But one thing I would say is that it's always referential in one way. Like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. references come in and they don't go back out. Mm-hmm. if they get in the Quinjet and they go out and they kick somebody's butt in this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the next time a movie comes out, that isn't referenced at all. That is not a thing. You know, there's no...
There's no passing even.
Right.
Right. There's no headlines on the paper on the table that says inhuman plague. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And similarly with the three different series from Netflix, it is also one direction. The incident is a big part of all three shows that are currently on Netflix, but yeah, no vice versa. Which is fair. You know, the comment he makes here is that these three characters aren't, they're street level heroes. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? That's an important point to make. I just felt like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being what it is and being the fact that, you know, you've got the director who was in all the movies for a while. You've got, you know, there was all this potential to be tied in with the main movies and it wasn't at all. That was kind of disappointing. But you've got the
it's almost like the TV shows pick up the scraps, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
And I think, all right, so maybe Tony Stark doesn't have Cerebro, but it seems like he'd be aware of what's going on in Hell's Kitchen, especially maybe not so much Daredevil, but certainly with Jessica Jones. You know, here's a character that you know, was seen flying and or jumping really well, jumping with style.
Luke Cage is all over this. He's the one that's out, right? He wants to be left alone, but he turns to the cameras.
Hey, I'm episode three, so don't no spoilers.
I didn't mean he's gay. I'm just saying. No,
wow. But that's a strong point, is that, you know, a big part of this Luke Cage series, this first season, without giving too much away, is him having to choose to not be in the shadows. I mean, that's already – you're like four episodes in, Brian. That's already apparent by then. It should be because the early shockers have happened, if you know what I mean.
Correct.
Without giving anything away yet. We're going to talk about Luke Cage in greater length next week, by the way, folks. We're not going to touch it right now because we are, you know, trying to honor the fact that half of the people on this show have barely seen any of it at all. Mm-hmm. And no, that's not a knock.
Three episodes. I'm 30 or four episodes. I'm more than 33% of the way through it.
That's the best. You're from class. That's the best brag about not having a life I've ever heard.
To be completely fair, one thing we can report on is that Luke Cage was so popular when it hit, it took Netflix down for a few hours.
Right? Oh my God, that was so awesome.
And people
not for
are
people not for people who wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's back. It was back by like noon Eastern because we knocked it out.
2 hours it was down apparently. Yeah.
Now I do want to play a quick plug for the first three episodes. I watched them here with Jeff Randall of MCU Cast, and then we recorded episode 1, 2, and 3, of course, of their Luke Cage coverage with Jeff Randall. And I did the first episode because Matt had some issues, and Matt Carroll joined us. And it's over there at MCUcast.com. You can check that out. They're part of the network that we have. But back to the email here. Here's the explanation I've heard that I think is utter BS, which is, well, movies take like years to film, right? Where TV shows are done in 6 months time. And no, we don't need you to go into your Civil War movie and say, reference Daredevil today did such and such. Mm-hmm. But how hard is it for the TV show to have in the background of the first Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Civil War, you just see a scroll? You're going along, or not Civil War. I'm sorry, they actually addressed something about Civil War, but no, there's some episode after Daredevil hit for season two. You see just a news scroll on a TV in the background that says something about the devil of Hell's Kitchen, right? And it's not that difficult. Write it into the script. Yeah, it's not that hard to print a fake newspaper that you have sitting on the table when Iron Man is in the office talking to Captain America in Civil War and leaning down on him, talking about whatever's going on with the script, and to see the headline, the Easter egg that sits there says, Inhuman invasion. You know, something along those lines, right? Sure. Because it's a worldwide thing now. Mm-hmm. That's not a street-level thing. That the fish oil went out there, they're everywhere.
I mean, that's the big thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is there's this huge, like, world-altering event going on, and the movies aren't acknowledging it at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas,
and the only excuse I've heard is movies take longer and we can't really. No. You're pissing on, to me as a movie guy, you're pissing on the TV shows. Oh, you guys have it easy. You don't understand our plight. We can't do it that well. No. Yeah.
There's a moment in one of the movies, and I'm trying to remember if it was Winter Soldier, where they talk about other people with powers and they mention Stephen Strange.
Yes, it was Winter Soldier.
It was when a soldier.
It was on the roof. It was on the rooftop.
Right. Yeah. When they were doing the Hydra, like the Hydra, Hydra guys are talking. They say, Bruce Banner or there's this guy Stephen Strange. So they could easily do that with those guys we're hearing about in Hell's Kitchen, and even that much of a reference would be fine.
Yeah, because I think the my problem with it, where I think it's a cop out, is there's no way that the story groups aren't interacting and planning stuff out.
Right.
Here's at least broad strokes, so you know that at at this time in the movie calendar, these TV shows will have or will be in premiere time frame. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. I guess, you know, we're gonna move on here. But ultimately, I guess what we're looking for is maybe a little bit more of a seamless melding without necessarily having to completely warp their production schedules. And we get that, you know, there's limitations. And obviously, I don't expect to see Daredevil piloting a Quinjet in the next Avengers film. There's a reason I was making use of Daredevil in that capacity.
Now we've got Luke Cage, so you know.
Yeah, and we know he can fly some Quinjet.
Yes, we do.
But on that same note, you know, as some of the bigger actors leave the Avengers franchise, Robert Downey Jr. saying he's only got one or two more of these in him. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans, probably same thing. Why not move some of these other players up to the big leagues? Move Kristen Ritter, move Jessica Jones up in there, you know, training with Falcon and Scarlet Witch and Vision as they were kind of insinuating at the end of Avengers 2 into that, into the training facility. I think something like that would be great, and it would tie in everything so much together. Even if it's just a little pop in at the end, like, oh yeah, you know, welcome to the team. Here's some new recruits that we're going to be training, and that's all you get. Totally fine with that.
Yep.
I mean, the movies can be king; they can dictate the schedule.
Absolutely.
But everybody else will show up for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say before we move on, I would kind of like to go back real quick to one of the topics that we discussed earlier. And Brian, perhaps you can talk to Scott, and maybe we can get some music. But you want to play a quick round of Google is Maximus, where I'm going to type a phrase into Google and you see how it finishes.
All right. Like comic book related.
Is this from the morning stream?
I have typed in rock god.
And what we have to see when it finishes. Let's see. Like Eric Clapton would be my first guess. Rock god Eric Clapton.
Paul, do you got any guess?
Oh, geez, I have no idea.
But Charles, we know what you're going with.
No, I'm going with podcasting. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It is lyrics, rock god lyrics. Rock now, god if you lyrics. If now if you do get to the O, to throw a bone, if you do get to the O of it will finish of podcasting.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. Baby, that's what branding is all about, man.
Is that with a new private, like, incognito window? Yeah,
that is with an incognito. But you guys have been experiencing some issues with the science of the incognito search lately.
We know, you know, it would come up just from overuse on one person's machine.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I can't Google myself because, you know.
Yeah. I just see Charles sitting at home.
Anything yet?
It's going to trend just on my Google searches.
Well, let's move from the rock god of podcasting to the spider god of Manhattan.
Yes.
Brilliant segue. And talk about Spider-Man Homecoming. We've found out that, the rumor, I should say, is that Homecoming is going to have three villains. We already know about Vulture, Adrian Toomes, who early on was announced that he's going to be played by Michael Keaton, going from Birdman to, or not Birdman, but what was he in?
Yes, Birdman.
Yeah, what am I thinking? That was wrong. From Birdman to Vulture, I think it's appropriate. And Shocker, who is going to be played by Fargo actor Bokeem Woodbine. But who's the third antagonist? And what the rumors are surfacing on is that it might be somebody new dating Mary Jane, or I'm sorry, not Mary Jane, dating Aunt May, which, hey, I mean, it's Marissa Tomei, so there should be guys lined up around the block to date Aunt May. Or a new teacher that, hold on. Is there a disagreement?
No. Okay. I'm laughing. I'm thinking,
not all love Marissa Tomei.
I can't help but go, okay, come on. Let's roll the dice. Is it Joe Pesci? Bring in Joe Pesci. Is it Joe Pesci? Because that'd be awesome.
I was getting ready to start stomping my foot. Yeah.
I was going to say that Sally Fields is a wonderful lady.
Yes,
I mean,
but she's no Marissa Tomei.
We got a serious upgrade here. I mean,
yeah,
Yes, swipe left for Sally Field, swipe right for.
That's your casting app now.
I don't know how it works, actually. Is that how it works?
Are you saying that you're going to pass on Mrs. Fields' cookies? Is that?
We've got a headline, or we've got a title for this show. There's also a rumor that there's going to be a surprise appearance from a character that is central to the Spider-Man mythos, one who's going to play a larger role in the upcoming films. They just can't confirm who it is at this time, and that's all we know about that. I thought,
who's more central than the Goblin, right? Either one of them, Hob or Green.
Yeah, Uncle Ben, Black Cat.
I will slap you if you say his name again. I am so tired of him in these movies.
Of course, Uncle Ben's dead, but Black Cat would be a good one. You know, she's central to Spider-Man mythos. Yeah. We had Felicity made an appearance in one of the last two Andrew Garfield movies as an employee of Oscorp, if I remember correctly.
I missed that part, I think.
You know what I think would be the good play is Otto.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And you could actually have two birds with one stone. He could start dating Aunt May like he did in the comics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is I think, that also sets you up if you want to do Superior Spider-Man later on, if you want to explore that briefly somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would do it in the MCU. I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do because that would be kind of wild. It was wild and crazy on the page, let alone. But I think that sets up – that's half a Sinister Six, right?
Sure.
At that point. And I think – I mean, to me, if you want to talk about Spider-Man at his best, it's when you're talking about, like, Sinister Six, you know, those organizations of the villains that he pummels on a regular basis coming together and being like, man, we really hate that guy. Why don't we do stuff together and we'll get them that way, you know, kind of thing. And I think that would be amazing. And I think in order to do that, you need the mastermind, which is obviously Otto. So,
yeah, but didn't they say that he wasn't going to be super powered, though?
Well, you can do pre-arms Otto. That's why I said Otto.
No, and you can. But I wonder if this isn't an opportunity to introduce Flash Thompson.
They've got to already have Flash Thompson, right? Because, I mean, once Peter has his powers, he's already been kind of bullied around in school and all that.
Right, but you're introducing him in this movie, not in...
My feeling Civil War. Not to cut you off there, Chris, my feeling is unless they're looking to push Agent Venom eventually, there's really no reason to go that route again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, because that's such a slippery road. Like, if you introduce Venom... you basically commit yourself to having to do the symbiote storyline, and that's hit or miss with a lot of people. I mean, it's a slam dunk for a lot of Spider-Man fans, but the broad audience, it's a little bit to swallow. You know what I mean? It's a dense topic.
I don't know. With what they've talked about, I think the new villain's going to be homework. He's going to have to deal with homework while he's fighting all these other guys. Come on.
I just know that between Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and now the Shocker, hand gestures of plenty are going to be flying.
Lots of devil horns thrown around, right?
But I do like your theory of Octavius because he was just an unpowered normal guy before the accident.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But he dated Aunt May in the comics continuity. He dated Aunt May after the arms, after Peter Parker knew him as Dr. Octopus, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the MCU has to go the same way. Yeah. One other thing, though, Sony did at one time have a Venom movie scheduled as well as a Sinister Six separate movie.
They did.
As well. So maybe that's not such a reach.
Right. Mm-hmm. I still want to see those movies. You know, say what you will about Suicide Squad. I love that we were watching bad guys. Do some good things, some bad things, but I want to see the Venom versus Carnage. Or
do you think they could do a Spider-Man Rogues Gallery style for Sinister Six? They're almost nothing without Spider-Man, whereas those Suicide Squad can exist really well without Batman.
Well, I don't know if you could do. I don't know. I mean, like when I heard about Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, how does that even work? Because I had no.
Sure.
Experience with them. I don't know how you do a Sinister Six movie, but they've proven they can do just about anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Unless that's okay. So you take a Sinister Six movie and you make Spider-Man the villain at the same time introducing the symbiote.
Nice.
And then
they have to bring down the Venom.
They have to bring down symbiote Spider-Man.
That would be interesting. Now let's tell everybody who's not familiar who the Sinister Six are.
Which iteration?
Yeah, exactly.
the growing up, I grew up in the 90s, the 80s, 90s, the original iteration.
So is your Lizard, Dr. Octopus, Green Goblin, Mysterio,
Kraven.
Yeah. And who's the sixth?
I know Electro's in there at some point. Was
Electro.
He?
Yeah, yeah, Electro.
Electro, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So they six of his biggest villains.
Right, but later iterations had Venom, later iterations had...
Vulture's always been...
Yeah, so right. Sandman. So original, original lineup, I believe, was Mysterio, Vulture, Electro, Kraven, Doc Ock, and Sandman. But then it's...
Oh, right, Green Goblin wasn't part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know Shocker's been on a couple iterations of it.
Yes, yep.
Because the Sinister Six can be any six.
Yeah, generally, what it ends up being is whoever's not in prison right now and is really mad at Spider-Man.
Right, who's
Otto. Otto's like, circle the wagons. Bad guy roundup here. Come on. We're having a powwow.
Right. Well, seven are available. We're just taking the first six. Sorry.
No, we only have five. All right, call in the homework, man. We got to throw some more homework at this boy.
Sorry, Doc Connors. You're going to have to go dwell in the sewers this time around. We're full.
Well, even in the sewers, Doc Connors could get some awesome loot crate.
Nicely
right?
done.
Oh, man. My God.
But this is Halloween, so you know they're going to go with a scary theme this month. That chill running up your spine isn't your imagination or the Sinister Six. It's Loot Crate's October theme. Horror, which, you know, we went over this last week. I'm not a huge expert or fan of, so we're not going to go on that diatribe again. But we're talking over 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons and putting them in this month's crate. Channel your best final girl with items from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. You've got to the 19th of October at midnight Eastern to subscribe and get it until, and then when it's over, it's over. And you know what? I want to put a caveat. Every once in a while, you get lucky. They have some leftover boxes. You can buy them. But you never can guarantee that. And if it's something great, you know, it hits that note like horror hits for a lot of people, there's a good chance you're not going to get it after the 19th. So subscribe now. Go to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. Enter code giant size team up to save. I think it's $3 off any new subscription. It could be more. It could be a little less. You don't know. But go and save some money. Sign up. It helps us out. It helps us grow. And you're going to get some awesome stuff in your mailbox.
Yeah. Keep in mind, there can always be a Groot with a glow-in-the-dark arm.
No, there can never be a Groot in the glow-in-the-dark arm because I missed it.
That's why you want to jump on every single one of these.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That's the bane of my existence.
All right, your great white whale, your great glow-in-the-dark whale.
Yeah.
Is that... let's talk a little bit about Batman, specifically the Batman. Not just any Batman, but the Batman, because Ben Affleck has sort of confirmed that is the title for the upcoming Batman solo movie. However, he says that the title can change, but for now, quote, that's what we're going with. The other important part of this that I want to bring up is that they're talking about, there's speculation that the movie could come out as soon as 2018, which is a year earlier than it was originally rumored. So you get your Justice League movie, and then you've got Batman the following year.
Now, do you think they're going to do tent poles like Marvel does? They have the tent pole that comes out in the spring. That's the big one. And then they have another film in the fall. Do you think they're going to start, DC is going to start doing that? Because you could... Arguably, Justice League would be the tentpole, and Batman would be the fall movie. Unless it's a solo film that year, then it would be like Guardians is a tentpole coming up next year.
I personally think they need to start having a few slam dunks before they start planning it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
I think there's going to be a lot that hedges on Justice League. If Wonder Woman, I think for fairly obvious reasons, will probably do well for its budget, pretty much regardless. I'm hoping it's a great film. But I think that there's such a demand out there for her as a character and what she represents to a lot of different communities for different reasons that people will turn up to support it just on principle alone. Justice League is going to be the big, you know, it's going to be the make or break for the whole franchise, I think, honestly.
Yeah.
So a lot will hinge on that.
So, Ibbitt, what do you think the title The Batman will do to the socioeconomic standards of the European Union right now? You know, just
well,
curious.
It's going to lower the price of oil, for sure.
That would be awesome. Bring in the more of The Batman. We need that.
Well, I think it's very problematic that it's the title is non-inclusive by its very definition. It's The Batman. It's not those Batmen. It's not Bat people. It's very, yeah.
Yeah, does it mean that Ben Affleck in that movie is not going to be able to just go, I'm Batman? He's going to say, I'm the Batman. or he'll say, I'm Batman, and the Batman will say, The Batman?
Or A Batman.
And sliding into a close second place as the worst Batman movie title of all time. The Batman.
Does it really matter? I don't know. You know, I have a hard time with the Batman trilogy, remembering which one was Dark Knight. Well, okay, Dark Knight Rises was the first, right? But
No.
Apparently,
yeah, that's the last. You know,
I mean,
Follow the Queen. Where's the Queen?
The one that's called Batman Begins.
That's it.
Is the Batman first Begins. One?
Yeah.
Don't be all so condescending, Tron. It's okay. My point is, does it really matter? When I go to see a movie, I want to see the movie. I want to see it because it's Batman. When we just need the title to reference, right? Batman Forever versus The Batman. Does it really matter that it's called The Batman?
Other than that it's possibly, one of the worst titles possible.
Because it's The Batman as opposed to Eight Batman.
It's just awkward to say. Like, it's awkward to say. I'm sorry. It was like BVS. The problem with BVS was that it was like a mouthful that made no sense. You know what I mean? Like, that's a title of a movie. No, that's not the title of a movie. It is, but it shouldn't have been. much like The Batman, I'm just like, what are you? Okay, right. I guess. Like,
yeah, when you're looking at the first Michael Keaton movie, that was called Batman. And so now we're going to have Batman and The Batman.
But a lot of people actually, Chris, this is where you jump in on my religion of DC on screen and mock me for it. But I've heard a lot of people actually in those circles, not just DC on screen, but that's where I heard it first, reference it by the year. So it's Batman 88 and Batman 66. Eventually, this would be called Batman 16. Or it will be 18, I guess, when it comes out.
The Batman 16? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, God. Let's hope
I
not.
I will applaud the fact that they have not done... They're not just calling it Batman, because I hate when they take a classic film, they do a reboot or a remake of it or whatever, and then they keep the same name. It's like, dude, that causes unnecessary problems. Like, don't do that. Like, you know, because when I go Google search that, I'm forever. It's going to be, which one are you looking for? Well, guess what? There's a whole bunch more web presence for, like, Total Recall, for example. If I go to look up for something for Total Recall, I mean, there's going to be a lot of web presence for the newer one that nobody cares about, as opposed to the classic one, which was bad too, but bad in a good way.
I kind of liked the new one. All right, never mind. Everybody shuts down solid. No, let's not even get to that fight.
This is where I start shuffling away from it.
Batman. Right? I'm just going to leave that right there and back off.
You know what, Charles? I'm glad you brought up DC on screen, because they have a lot of good content. And you know where you can find them? Over at Breaking the Panel, our website. And you,
GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Oh, good try, though. Yeah. Good try. But it is GiantSizeTeamUp.com.
Folks at home, I hope you're warming your hands next to this fire, because that is what you call a fiery crash.
That was a big, bad burn.
No, that was great. You gave it a great shot, but you got caught up in what we're doing versus what we're promoting, which is our giant-sized
team. Nice try, kid. You still got an F. You'll shoot your eye out. Puts in his face.
It was an icicle. It fell and it broke my glasses.
Carry on, wisdom. Carry on.
No, I'm done. I'm out. Paul gets to do it.
Yeah, if you want to check out DC on screen, you can go over to GiantSizeTeamUp.com, the actual website that will bring you to a nice little page with some pictures, and you click on the picture and there you are.
Is that how the web works? You go to a site and there's pictures?
Well,
thank you, professor.
Underlined.
I have to shift fire.
You know what? If you want to help us out getting some real hosts on this show, patreon.com/breakingthepanel. That's one of our goals, is that, you know, the $500 an episode mark, will actually hire people who can do this for us professionally, and we'll just write the show from the background.
Hardwick, we're looking at you.
Chris, redeem yourself. What else you got going?
All right. So I know I don't want everybody to think that we get too preachy on the show, but we talk about some topics that need discussion. And apparently Dan Didio, Jim Lee, and the other bigwigs at DC have heard, and they have responded. So in February 2017, the new Justice League of America title is going to be coming out, and the new members are going to be the Atom, Vixen, the Ray, and Killer Frost. Now, why this is important is because DC is working on making a more diverse cast for the Justice League of America. Let's put a
pause there real quick. This is comic books. So we do actually cover comic book stuff. We want to be clear. We just jumped from talking about Justice League on the big screen. This is the actual comic books.
All right. Sorry, fans. We've jumped from the big screen to the back bins.
There you go. I just wanted people who are casuals like me to understand the transition we just made.
To be fair, these will be on newsstands for a little while before they go directly to the back bins.
I know, but Charles doesn't reference the newsstands.
Where all other DC titles go to die.
So what's important is the ad blurb, I think, and it really gets to the heart of what we've been discussing over the last few weeks. So January 2017, kicking off Justice League of America, our four DC Rebirth one-shots. They make four bold statements that form the foundation of a team that will bring justice to places that have given up on hope, places that thought heroism would never find them. The Justice League of America goes there. They explore the microverse, the hidden cities, the worlds within. They go where, they go to the other side of the map and explore forward in the face of heroism. This is a Justice League that looks like America, that proves heroism can look like anything and anyone. And that's the crux of what we've been saying, is that everybody deserves representation and they're going to give it to us. In the Atom, they're not going with Ray Palmer. So you're going to get the... his name escapes me right now. I want to say it's Cho... Franklin Margaret Cho. Is that right? Franklin Cho? So an Asian Atom.
Oh, Ryan.
That's right, Ryan Choi. I'm thinking of totally awesome Hulk, Amadeus Cho.
Amadeus Cho.
So that's on me. That's on me. But
Amadeus.
The Ray, who is an out gay superhero. Vixen. So we're gonna have an African American representation on the team, and then Killer Frost will have villainous representation on the team, I guess.
There's not enough representation. It's villains on hero teams.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So it's good. It's a movement in the right direction. This hot off the heels of a recent interview with Greg Rucka talking about upcoming changes to Wonder Woman. That if you guys haven't been paying attention within the last week, she has now been outed, per se. But should be taken in the context of what makes sense for the story. And this gets back to the heart of what we've always said, is whatever changes you make to a character, as long as it's good writing and it makes sense for the character. So Greg Rucka, in defense of that, or not, I shouldn't say in defense of, but his line of thinking is, when you start thinking about giving the concept of Themyscira its due, the answer is, how can they not all be in same-sex relationships, right? It makes no logical sense otherwise, because this is an island of only women. So he goes on to say that Amazons don't call other Amazons gay because the concept doesn't exist. They just know that this is their pool of people to love and have relationships with. So I find like that's compelling writing, that makes sense in the context of where she comes from, and then that broadens her scope on how she interacts with the world.
Now, in the history of Wonder Woman, has she ever had a male relationship in the books?
She has. She has
Superman, even
with Superman, even in the New 52 iteration, that was hot and heavy with her and Superman. Batman, there's always been flirtations there, at the very least,
right?
Steve Trevor, but they'll answer to that. And this, I want to say, this is going to you'll really start to see this formulate in the year one type stuff, because Wonder Woman releases twice a month. One title is current time frame, and then the other is more about her origin stories and leading up to. There's all of these initiatives that DC's taking that I think are really good steps in the right direction. The only thing that I would say as far as the Justice League of America title that has me worried is these aren't the AAA members. So yeah. I worry about the legs that the book may have.
But you know, Marvel's been doing the same kind of thing, and I almost think almost too much with replacing some of their highest known characters with new characters taking on the mantle. The new Iron Man, which is now two Iron Men. There's a woman, and then there's also Dr. Doom is one of the new Iron Men.
Wait, what?
Yeah. obviously, Falcon now is Captain America, but isn't there also, besides Steve Rogers, there's a second Captain America too, isn't there?
There's a Falcon.
Well, yeah, besides Falcon, though.
No, because of this whole thing that made Captain America Hydra, he's been young again, so now he's back too.
He's back, okay. But you know, Marvel doing this with some of their characters, seeing the same kind of thing.
Well, and I don't necessarily want like a mantle change. I just feel like it's fine that they're on the team, but you still have to have at least one of the big three. You got to have one of the Trinity to carry that title.
Right.
So, or I'm worried that you're going to have a readership fall off.
I'll bet if they do see a leadership fall off, I bet Batman will suddenly become a member of the Justice League of America or Superman or Wonder Woman.
Mm.
They should be able to.
Even getting like, you know, Martian Manhunter or somebody who's like second string, but
right, Aquaman,
you know, has some history, has some
following. Whoa, what is with the hate with Aquaman? He's going to be awesome in the Justice League movie.
He's second to the Trinity, though, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's second to the Holy Trinity of DC. Yeah.
What can Aquaman do, really?
I hear he talks to fish. But
he's the stallion that mounts the world.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jason Momoa reference there.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
You know, it's a rough show when Brian's making.
It's quite the barbarism.
Such a barbarism.
Here's a question about comics in general, right? I would love to see more small runs like what they're talking about with the Microverse, Hidden Cities, you know, the new Justice League of America, and what it's doing. Do we have to gauge every comic book based on Batman sales or Superman sales?
Yes.
Right? Why? Why can't we go, hey, we're going to put a little less money into this one because we're going to get a little less known name to write it or known, you know, artist to draw it, and we're going to put it out there, and we can sell less, but we're just still going to make money.
Because that's how you get that horrific Squirrel Girl comic we talked about some number of months ago.
I blanked it out of my memory.
Oh, everybody wants Batman numbers, though. But what you're describing, though, is stuff that the indies have been doing and been doing fine
for years,
right? Brian K. Vaughan and Charles Adlard and, main guy of The Walking Dead.
Kirkman, Robert Kirkman.
Right, with stuff like Walking Dead and Invincible and stuff like that. They've been doing just fine with kind of the lesser-known indie titles that develop a following of their own just from perseverance. And they're not seeing Superman numbers. They're not seeing Batman numbers or Spider-Man numbers. So I think that's fine. I'm more interested in the other way you phrase that, though, which is seeing these smaller runs. Like, are we now ready to embrace the pay by the single approach that we've seen in iTunes and buying music by the smaller unit with comic books instead of subscribing to a 100-issue comic series? Would it be better to start doing these story runs that are not, you know, that are numbered among themselves, but not necessarily part of the, oh man, if I want to get into Superman now, there's, you know, 300 issues of back stuff that I've got to follow. That might be a way to rejuvenate the comic industry, is these smaller groupings.
Mm-hmm. I think you're onto something there, Brian. I think it's a good idea to present a number of digestible options. Kind of something that they were really trying to do with Rebirth, you know, with the way they launched Rebirth it was like, all right, here's our reset, you know, Rebirth number zero there had like great threads for a lot of interesting stories. That was a great intro to the general audience who's like, okay, listen, here's my chance, you know, like they're doing this whole thing and now I can start to like dig in. Yeah, absolutely. Do some short runs, you know?
Yeah.
I like what Chris just mentioned that what they're doing with Wonder Woman, where they're going to put out two books a month, but one of them's going to be the current storyline, and this, the other one's going to be, you know, flashbacks, if you will. So they're kind of doing the Arrow TV show thing where, like, you know, half of this week's episode is devoted to the current story, which can go both ways. You know, I mean, like, because there are some people who are absolutely not into that. But what I like about how they're executing that is it's like, if you're not into the backstory, you're not going to get the second month. And I, unfortunately, I think that means that if there's not a big, you know, effort to support it, I think you'll see that second book change in nature. You'll see it fall off or something. But I do like the idea that they're like, all right, let's test the waters here. Let's see what people are really into. And, you know, do they want to see golden age stories, you know, again, like with modern art and everything, you know what I mean? Because that's another thing, too. There's an opportunity here when you do a setting reboot like this to explore old storylines and make them a little different, obviously. You know, you don't have to make them, you know, exactly the same kind of thing. DC can do it. Marvel can do it as well because of the fallout after Secret Wars. You know, there's so much, you know. There's so much restart going on that you can absolutely explore some of these ideas. And I think it's awesome to make something digestible that people can pick up and be like, all right, I like this. There's only four issues to this run. There's five, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go grab those other ones because that's not a huge investment. You know what I mean? That's the other thing.
You don't feel like you're making a massive commitment for the whole story.
Right. And they make awesome trade paperbacks later, too. You know, like five issues in one, you know, and it doesn't have to be super expensive, you know. That's cool, too. So, yeah, absolutely.
I think the problem that you would have with doing too many of those is then people are going to... It's going to start looking cash grabby if you start going to miniseries. Because then they're like, well, how does this affect the continuity? And then if it affects the continuity, if this has broad implications on the continuity, why aren't you presenting it in continuity?
Why can't we do it like TV seasons, though?
I mean, that's what I mean.
Thor, God of Thunder, right, was a great storyline that was 25 issues long. And it was its own thing. Now, in that storyline, it told four different stories, which I found a little jarring. You know, instead of stopping at the God Killer, right, the God Butcher and the God Bomb and all that, it went on to tell some other stuff. And then it said, hey, we're going to end this run. In the last issue, I mean, they literally said, we're ending this run, but check out next month where we're going to start a new run with Thor, the blah, blah, blah. The Runaways, same way, 18 issues was the initial run, and that was a complete story from start to finish. It was done. And then they took some time off because, you know, they felt like it wasn't going to sell. And then they brought it back and they've tried to treat it like a regular series where you're getting 30, 40, 50, 60 runs in. I'm like, no. Keep it to 12, 18. Tell me a story. And then I want to see the Runaways, blah, blah, blah. You know, where it's their next story. Mm-hmm. And Thor, the Avengers, you know, where it's not the Avengers where it's 50,000 episodes. It's Thor and this story he does with them and the one arc that they do. I think that mini little delivery system would work. And it still could affect the overall continuity.
And I think there's definitely a place for mini and maxi series, but I don't know that I want to see, I don't know that I want to see the market shift to that as the majority way to digest comics. I understand that. I guess I can understand the appeal of that, but I know when Flashpoint happened and then New 52 happened, I was one of those guys that one of the things that upset me the most was I lost that Action Comics and Detective Comics continuity. It was just gone. That was, you know, 50 plus years of comics history that they just threw out and renumbered starting at one.
And the big drawback with that, too, is that if you do have continuity, and you should have continuity, of course, throughout all these miniseries, without a guide of some sort, you don't know which miniseries comes.
Sure.
Right.
You know,
well, I mean, that's every time, like, I've approached Chris a number of times and said, what should I read for DC? Because I want to bone up, you know, I want to get in. I mean, their television show offerings, their films, their animated stuff has piqued my interest. I'm interested now. But it is a wall of, you know, like Chris just said, like 40, 50 years of continuity. And I don't know which end, you know, where to start, where, what's what, you know. Because even within something like Batman, there's runs where it's like, oh, yeah, they went back and retold, you know,
right.
this section of time, but it's in the normal, you know, numbering procession. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to do because it's not clearly defined for me.
That's kind of why I scoffed at the continuity a little bit is many years ago, about 10 to 15, I looked at actually getting into subscriptions again before the digital was available. And I found either an online shop or a local shop, I can't remember which, and they had the order sheet, right? And I'm like, I don't know which, I just wanted Batman. All I know is Batman. I want Batman. I like Batman. I like this series with Court of Owls, but I didn't know which one to subscribe to because there's four different Batman out at the same time at that point.
Right.
I want punching and gravelly.
Yeah. I read this Court of Owls. Which one is it? Is it Knight? Is it Knight? Whatever. Is it Batman? My Little Pony? I don't know which one it is.
Well, if it was 10 or 15 years ago, that's the easy answer. It was in every one of them. I mean, and that's, I guess, that was what I liked coming up in the 90s about all the Superman comics, Action Comics, Man of Steel, Man of Tomorrow. All of those were, they each had their individual number runs, run numbers. So Action Comics had its set of numbers. But then there was, every month, there was a little triangle on the cover, and it would have the year at the top, and then it would have the number. So you could take and put your comics in order and mix them up. So it, you know, you would have Action Comics, Man of Steel would be, Action Comics would be 25 and Man of Steel would be 26 and so on and so forth. And then every month it would reset. So you could see in continuity for those years what the reading order was.
Oh, love that.
And they haven't done it in a long time. So now you have to depend on your Google box to get that information.
I think that's the difficult part. You know, this is a time that is so ripe for getting people into the books themselves. You know what I mean? It's comic book culture has never been more mainstream than it has been in the last 2-3 years. So I think they just need to adopt some business models that really help people transition in and get hooked and find the stories, you know, seek out the stories that they're interested in. And that goes right across the board. That goes for all types of characters, all the teams, you know, you name it.
Maybe that's the section we add at the end of this show of a continuity run. Hey, if you're interested in, just pick one. If you're interested in Superman, here's how you get caught up and here's where you get into the continuity now. No. Just a quick little primer.
You know, just go pick up this run from 1992 and then pick up this run from 95 and then
The thing is if you want to talk to me, if you want to talk a business model change for DC before going comics as a whole, if you want to talk mini maxis, I'll get on board. But with DC, they need to have an online. They need to have a Marvel Unlimited option.
I agree.
That's how you. That's yes. what they're missing.
Give me a reason to give you my money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. We're going to be back in just a second. We've got one more story about wrestling coming to comic books. Or really comic book films. So this one tickles my funny bone. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. But we got to pay some bills. So listen to these awesome ads. Because, you know, you got nothing better to do. You're in your car. Shut up and drive. Hey, we're back. Here is my favorite. Everybody's favorite comic book dude, Mark Millar, is doing it again. If you understand comics, you understand that Mark Millar did Kick-Ass. He brought that to screen, right? Kingsman, The Secret Service, and Wanted. He also wrote the comics arc that inspired, at least in part, Marvel's The Avengers and Civil War films.
Right. Had a great run on X-Men, too, for a while.
Yeah. Now, I know there is some different feels for him and what he's done, but as a storyline on all those, I did not read The Kingsman or Kick-Ass. I did read Wanted. I thought they were great. The movies were great. Of course, The Avengers, I have read plenty of his runs there in Civil War as well. So he does well. But he's completely in love with John Cena. Cena! He played. I don't have the sound bite here to put in, but that's what I do. To play the lead in the new one. In his new book/movie, Superior, in his latest superhero comic adaption that is currently in development. So we got to listen to him, right? I don't know. John Cena is going part-time with the WWE, and he's trying to do more acting. All the films he's been in pretty much so far have been, as Klotz likes to say, a dumpster fire. They have been horrible. Horrible. However...
But you get the added perk of him being able to rap the theme song.
uh, So it's this movie's about a young boy with MS who gets a wish granted and is transformed to his favorite superhero. So it's not even a comic book. It's almost a real world. Like the kid reads the comic and then turns into this comic book hero. So they need somebody who can play that. It was pitched, I think at the top of this article, it's pitched as Big meets like Hancock or something like that. And I can see that if you're getting this adult, right, who's still a little kid inside, not like Shazam where he actually transforms. Well, okay, no, yeah, that is kind of exactly like Shazam, like, isn't it? Shazam. It's pretty much exactly like Shazam. Never mind. But as far as acting, I could see John Cena acting like a kid. Some of the stuff I've seen him in has been fun. I have watched wrestling off and on throughout the years. My son loves John Cena. You know, when
aren't you from Georgia?
Yes.
Aren't all you Uncle Ted-a-fights wrestlers? Isn't that your thing? Isn't it wrestling?
Hey, I grew up with Mean Gene, man, doing the Sunday WWE. You know, now it's about pandas and stuff. I don't know why they say that from us. But yes, you can be around something and not, you know, still keep all your teeth and actually have some education in your head and not, you know, go crazy on it.
You could, but you didn't.
All right, Evan, come on, put the boys in check, man.
I'm just worried this could be Jericho.
I don't know. What do you guys think about this? About the idea of a little boy with a disease gets a wish, he turns into a superhero, and it's going to be John Cena.
Okay, how are you framing this? Because you're about to make us look like jerks. No, some kid with MS shouldn't.
Not a real kid. Like it's a story. What do you think about
wallow and suffer because he's a wrestling fan, and wrestling fans are stupid dumb?
No, actually, of course, the story in the movie is not about wrestling. The story in the movie is about the kid watching, or reading rather, a comic book, loving his favorite hero, which is Superior. Right? I don't know what the hero's called, but the book is Superior, and getting his wish granted, so he becomes the hero in real life.
Right?
He turns into it. We're
there.
It could be interesting.
Sounds like a comic book. I mean, I don't think it's the most preposterous premise that we've been offered up in quite a while. I mean, there's definitely been worse ones. So
it's very, very similar to saying to Superboy Prime's origins, but that's.
Oh, really? Is it?
In the Earth Prime universe, there were no superheroes, and Clark Kent was he didn't have a disease or anything, but he was kind of a lonely kid, and he read comics, and the comics that he read in the Earth Prime universe were DC comics, and a meteor passed by, and it was Halley's Comet, actually. It was Halley's Comet came and unlocked his Kryptonian powers, and that was when he found out that he was from Krypton, and blah, 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 blah. But I don't have a problem with the story. I don't have a problem with that premise. I have a problem with John Cena doing anything but wrestling because he's a good character in WWE, but he is what I affectionately call the white man's rock. And that's a pale facsimile, if in case you weren't getting that.
Well, it's just the character's modeled after him. The kid's not going to become John Cena.
A
character that just looks like John Cena.
Well, and John Cena will be the actor.
John Cena playing him would be my problem. Yeah. He hasn't proven to me that he's of that quality.
The caliber, sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe he hasn't had the opportunity. I thought his character in Trainwreck was funny, but it's just a stereotype of who he is. I mean, it's a very stupid stereotype, but, you know, muscle bound lifting guy who, you know, whatever. But he was fun, but I haven't seen him act yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen some of the stuff he does with wrestling, which is borderline acting. He plays that character, sure. He plays himself as that character, whatever. But the movies he's been in, they've just been horrible. So I haven't seen anything that says, yeah, I would like to go see this. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd forgotten until you brought up Trainwreck. I was thinking, I haven't seen John Cena in anything, but I guess I have. I certainly haven't seen him wrestle. I'm so out of the wrestling circuit.
I can't remember. He was in a movie called, is it The Marine or The Marine 2? It's Marine 2. The Marine, I forget who was in that, but it was actually okay. It's obviously about a Marine. It's Walking Tall, redone for a new generation is what it was, right? A Marine comes back from duty. there's something going on wrong in the town or with his family. His wife got beat up, killed, whatever. And he sets it right. And they did straight to DVD versions after that.
I take that back. He was in the Marine.
He's in the original?
Yeah, he's in the original.
I can't remember if it's that one or if it's the second one. I was forced to watch it. It's the first movie that actually, very few movies in my life I've just turned off. I can usually suffer through anything. Mm-hmm. I had to turn it off halfway through. It was just, it wasn't necessarily his fault. The writing was just so bad that like one bullet blew out all four tires on a car and made it flip over three times and explode.
We can't do that anymore.
My brain hurts. This isn't Saturday Night Live where the cat drives it off the cliff, you know?
You know what? That's actually a good barometer. And I've seen him on Saturday Night Live, and he's okay. He's okay. When those guys make the jump to Saturday Night Live, because Rock got a chance to shine on Saturday Night Live.
God, Mr. Peebles.
He did.
Oh, yeah, he shines.
That's a big thing. SNL is such a great platform for like finding out somebody's true talents in that regard.
Yeah.
Cause there are some people that I was not a fan of their other work up until I saw them on SNL and I was like, all right, you're real people to me now. And of course there are the people who go on SNL and stare at the cue card the entire time. And I'm just like, oh my God, you're so bad at this. Stop.
Yeah.
But at least Jimmy Fallon's not there to make them laugh through the whole skit every time.
those are some of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. I love me some Fallon slipping, but like,
yeah.
Come on. How many skits did he derail during his tenure? Oh, man.
Almost all of them. All right. So here's your assignment for this week, everybody who cares to try to take it on. Let's go watch the Saturday Night Live with John Cena and then write us in. Write us in. Yeah, we're running for president. Write us in for president. The four of us, yeah. Breaking the panel. You know, we can balance. It's all right. Now, write into us. That is btp@giantsizeteamup.com. B as in breaking, T as in the, P as in panel, btp@giantsizeteamup.com. We'd like to hear from you. Of course, you can go to the website, make comments on this episode. That is giantsizeteamup.com/breakingthepanel. You can do that. Rate us in iTunes, all that jazz. Again, we need some help. patreon.com/breakingthepanel. We'd love to have you help us out there. And I think that's going to be it. So tune in next week to hear Chris Wisdom say,
I'm washing my hands, Mom.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel. And you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.